The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve? Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Wednesday, 14th day of November, 2012. The Dow is down 48 points, S&P down 3.5, comp is down 2, gold is up $6.70 per ounce, crude up 99 cents per barrel, and we are 47 days away from the fiscal cliff. True story. Oil really spiked today. One of the Hamas top military leaders was taken out by Israeli fire. Oil went up, and the shekel went down against the dollar. So tensions are tightening there. Keep those folks in your prayers. They've been fighting since the garden, and will continue as it is written until the end. So if we can get them to play nice for a while, that would be good. But that's really the most we can hope for, if you believe that which is written. So we're going to go straight into the recap today. We've been 3 days without a recap. Monday, Tuesday, today, Wednesday, we'll make the third day. So we'll go ahead, we'll get the important stuff out of the way, and then if I have any comments at the end of the program, I'll toss those in. But for now, we'll go straight to Michael, and then Mike Reed's going to come on and join us at about 20 after, and we're going to spend about 10 minutes with him, and then we'll get on with the program. Mike, are you there? This is Phoenix calling Boston. Boston, can you hear me? Austin's not there. All right. Well, we'll take a look at the chart we have in front of us, the S&P 500 E-mini futures. We attempted a rally overnight. We have this weekly zone right here, 1375.76. Now, on Monday, Veterans Day, and on the Globex session, this zone acted as support. This is an hourly chart. Price kept bouncing off of it into Monday. Again. Again. Finally got through there. And once it got through, it triggered the tweet we had at 1371 on the ES. And that called for a move to 1366, 5-point drop. We got that. The market did an about face at 66. Actually, we traded as low as 65.75. One tick below that. Did an about face and put in an impressive 20-point rally all the way up to 86. And we came three ticks shy of hitting the weekly trading zone overhead. We got to 86 and a quarter. The zone is 87/88. So within three ticks, remember, it's always an area. And sometimes that's as close as you get. I had drawn fibs yesterday because we've been talking about them a lot. I wrote a couple articles that were syndicated, so a lot of people have been asking a lot of questions about them. They're not tools that we use every day. When you've been around charts for a long time, you look at a chart and you see a 38, you see a 50, you see a 62. You have a general idea. But the tools are available. And we put a 38% in right here yesterday. I'll do that again real quick as we wait for Michael to show up.
I'm here.
Oh, you are here. Okay, because I'd already called for you once. And
oh,
I guess
sorry.
You hadn't got on yet. Right. So this was where the 38 hit yesterday. We came down through the 50, down through the 62. Now, here's what happened. See, price came here into quote-unquote never-never land, or is it? No, it's the 1731. You guys see that? We broke 31. We got our 5-point move. We went back through it. We came back down. We bounced off of 31. But we broke the 62% fib retracement. This is what I call fibs behaving badly. Okay? You buy the 38. You buy the 50. You buy the 62. It shoots out into what appears to be nowhere land and then turns around and goes. But we know, based on this number right here, 1371, it wasn't nowhere land. It was an important number, and what did the market do? It hit it, and it bounced. Now I make these fibs go away. Here's what happened. Look at the symmetry of this move. Think of 75, 76 as the center of gravity. Look at how this comes down, swings up, and then rolls over. Okay? We don't even challenge the previous high that was put in yesterday on Tuesday, and that is also the high of the week. Okay. So we come down this morning forcefully, about 9 points, I believe it was, in this one hourly candle here, after we failed to move higher than 82. And this was on the London Open that we tried to get this rally going. Pulled back, consolidated for 1, 2, 3 hours at the weekly zone, just as we consolidated all these hours last night. This is the type of action we expect to see around a zone, consolidation. But when it finally gave way this morning, now personally, I wanted to see some kind of support at 66 just because that's basic technical analysis. Here's what happened. Once we got down to 66 and a quarter, we put in a 2-point bounce. That's it. Yesterday, 66 was good for a 20-point bounce. Today, it was good for a 2-point bounce. And then we plowed right through 66, came down to the zone. Now, see, here it is to the tick, where it gets to the zone, turns right around, takes off. That's not always going to happen. Here's three ticks that shows you it won't always happen. Okay, but we did expect to find support here, and we did. No consolidation really yet. In fact, this was a rejection, or what could be referred to as a V-bottom. We'll see how it continues to play out through the rest of the program. But what I had said, Mike, is that I'm not going to go through any news or headlines or try to be cute or clever today. Since we've gone 3 days without a recap, I'm going to let you jump right in there and do the recap.
All right.
Mike Reed's going to pop in at 20 after. He wants to spend about 10 minutes with us, and then we'll get on with the rest of the show.
Excellent. Excellent. 20 after Mike's going to pop in.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
All right. I'll get on it then. Let me grab the charts, and we'll get right to it. It feels like it's been forever since I've done one of these. All right. Everyone should be looking at my charts at the moment. Yes, you are. I can see that. I'm going to start the recording. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Today is Wednesday, November 14th, 2012. What I'm going to do today is I'm not going to go over every single trade for the last 3 days, but I'm going to go over the net of the results for the last 3 days because this is the first recap I've done in 3 days. Yesterday I had a veterans thing to go to, and Monday was Veterans Day. So I was unable to get in here to do the recap. But let me give you the results for the last 3 days. On the ES, we were minus 8 ticks for the last 3 days. On the NQ, we were plus 13. On the YM, we were plus 9. On crude oil, we were plus 10. On gold, we were plus 14 ticks for the last 3 days. I don't think we took any Russell trades. We didn't take any soybean trades, though there were a ton of them that happened. We didn't take any of them. And those are the results. Before I go any further, let me say, if you have not taken a free trial with us, go to www.cfrn.net/apply. Sign up for the free trial. All we ask for in there is your name and your email address. With the free trial, you get 5 days in our live trading room, and you get access to everything you see here, and everything you hear, for that matter. You get access to Dwayne and I. You get access to the live trading room. You get access to all of our charts. You can download the charting platform. You can download our indicators. You get to use them, play around with them, see what we do, how we do it, live for 5 business days, 2 hours a day. All you have to do is just go to www.cfrn.net/apply, sign up. Okay, simple as that. For everyone who is in here who was on a free trial, or who was on a free trial last week for that matter, you should have something in your inbox telling you how to become a partner. If you do not have something in your inbox and you want to know how to become a partner to get into tomorrow night's partners meeting, send us an email at support@cfrn.net. Okay, support@cfrn.net, and we'll be glad to forward that info off to you. You can also call Bert and or Leslie at 866-928-3310, and they'll help you out there too. Okay, they'll forward you over to me and let me know. All right, again, Bert and Leslie's number is 866-928-3310. You can call that number, and they'll give you. They'll either forward you to me or they'll give you the information you need. Let's see. On to the trades. Okay. This morning, we only took a couple of trades this morning. We took a crude trade and an NQ trade. I'll show you the NQ trade to start off with. Okay. There were a bunch of opportunities. I didn't get all the opportunities, obviously, but there were a bunch of them. And I'll point a bunch of them out to you. All right. And right in here is where I took my NQ trade. We came up, we hit the BBC, we had a down close. Now, there were two things going on right here. One is that we closed below the trend line, and the other is that we hit the BBC after a bearish cross and had a down close with bearish divergence. Okay? So we had the bearish divergence right there, the down close, and we closed under this trend line that I drew. All right? You're going to see me drawing these trend lines a lot from now on because I think that there's a lot that people are missing with respect to the trend and how we pretty much always trade with the trend. We do have a counter trend trade at the weekly trading zones, but in here what I'm going to show to you is all the trend trades that we do because we pretty much always trade with the trend. That said, these little pullbacks are small opportunities. Not you directly, Frank. That said, these are small opportunities to enter into a trade, okay? The market is trending, and in any trend, you don't want to just jump in and attempt to catch the falling knife. You want to wait until that knife slows down, maybe even pulls back a little bit and stops. Gives you an opportunity to get a firm grip on it and then get in. Okay. The BBC, explain what the BBC is. The BBC is a bull bear cross. That's what BBC stands for. When you get a cross of the MA1, which is this other blue and red line right here, when you get that crossing down below the BBC, that tells you what direction to be looking in. Okay? Look for the shorts when that crosses down. Look for the longs when it crosses up. In this particular case, it crossed down. We were looking for a pullback up, tested the BBC with a down close, and bearish divergence, and there it is right there. Okay? There was the opportunity. We shorted right here. We took profit. We put our target one tick above this swing pivot right here. Okay, we got down there, took that profit. There was another opportunity to enter in here if you want to be real technical about it. On the down close, when that trend line broke right there, we were still trending down, and this was the pullback. That trend broke right there. There was another opportunity right in here. It almost touched the BBC, but not quite. Normally we would say we're not going to take this trade because it didn't hit the BBC, but if you wanted to take the trade because it closed below that trend line, this little pullback, this pause in the action, you could have taken it there, you could have done it again there. And over here, lo and behold, the MA1 crossed up above the BBC. So we're not looking for shorts anymore, okay? Not looking for shorts. There was an opportunity in here somewhere for a long trade. This was right on the news event. I didn't draw any trend lines in here. I must have been doing something else. But the up close right in here gave us a little bit of profit before it pulled back. Crossed down again. More opportunity. And right here, there was more opportunity on the downside right there. We had bearish divergence to support that. Okay. Craig B., no. Okay, there's more that goes into it than that. Right here was an opportunity to go down. We would have been looking for the same thing right here, but it went right through the BBC, right up to the yellow brick road right here where the red spot is. We would have anticipated that red spot to hold at least for one bar's profit, but it did not. And we would have anticipated that because we did get a lower low off of this one. All right. Let's see. All right. Yeah. All right, here we go. We had a bullish cross here and a pullback down. Now, in here, there were a couple of opportunities. It didn't actually hit the BBC. We did have the bullish divergence down here. All right, when I say divergence, I mean divergence between this indicator alone, between the cycle and the green line. All right, so we didn't hit the BBC, though. Normally, we'd wait for it to hit the BBC and give us an up close. In this case, it didn't hit the BBC, so you could have just waited for the up close above that trend line, taking a little bit of profit on that. All right, let's see, it did the same thing over here. We wouldn't have been looking, we wouldn't have been looking to take this trade right here, okay, because the cycle is red and headed down. And we wouldn't have anticipated that these were going to hold right here. These blue spots were going to hold because we didn't get a higher swing off of this one. All right, does that sound like there's a lot of rules? It's really not. You know, it sounds like there's a lot, but there's really not. I'm saying the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. Okay? If we take this, like, one little piece at a time, I don't really want to do that right at the moment, but if you take the free trial and you get in the live trading room, I would be happy to. If you become a partner and go into the partners meeting, I would be happy to do that too. But you can see right here, I drew more trend lines. We were looking for it to get down below these trend lines, above these trend lines, whatever the case may be. Okay? There was a ton of opportunity in here on the NQ today. I only took one trade because I was looking at eight markets all told and answering questions and lots of other stuff. But that said, there was just another opportunity right here. Now, we're looking at the same exact thing across. This is a four-tick range chart on the NQ. It's not a four-tick chart. It's a four-tick range chart. What that means is every single bar is four ticks in height. Every single bar has a range of four ticks. Okay, that's not four transactions. That is four ticks of price movement. Okay, let's see. All the four tick range charts use the same exact stuff. Same setups, same everything. Okay, so everything I just did here on the NQ, you can bring over here to crude oil, we'll say, because crude is the other place I took a trade this morning. Let's go back to where I actually took that trade. It was right in here. This was the actual trend line, but this is the trade that I took. We had some bullish divergence down here on the bottom. Tested the BBC with an up close. I took the trade. I got long. I took some profit. It did give me 10 ticks profit at one point. I had moved my stop up to plus 4 ticks, and I got out over there with plus 4 ticks on that one. You can see that it came back again and did it again right there. This up close was the spot to enter on that. I'm looking for it to continue the trend and keep going long. It didn't continue the trend. It turned around, came down. There was a spot over here, right here, to get short if you wanted to. Didn't continue the trend. Went long. We missed this over here. There was like one or two spots in here where you might have been able to do it, but this moves so fast that I don't think you would have been able to get in there. Okay? In here, once it pulled down and it started to draw a trend line, or it started to trend back toward the BBC, you had bullish divergence and everything else. The entry would have been on the up close above that. Okay? Again, over here. Same thing right there. And again over here. Okay? So the up close above this one, which would have been right here. The up close above this one, which would have been right here. Again over here. All this was very quick this morning. Okay, this was the up close above it for the move up. And then it all turned around, and it came down. Now over here, I was trying to draw these trend lines in and take the trade, and I couldn't do both, so I didn't do either. Actually, I wasn't doing that right there. I was trying to draw the trend lines in, and where was it? When it had turned around. I guess it was. No, that's not the big move from the morning. The big move from the morning... Where the heck was it? Here it is. This is the big move from the morning. That was a big move during the break. Sorry, this was the big move from the morning. I knew I was trying to draw trend lines in when it had crossed down over here. This was the trend line right here that I had drawn in this morning. But you can see on the big move this morning, it did the same thing. Okay, once you get up here, there's opportunity there. And in here. And in here. And in here. All right. I can't emphasize enough how important these things are. Now, every one of these trend lines, you may see, well, you know, it may seem like I'm just randomly drawing these trend lines, but I'm not. The approaches to the BBC is where I'm drawing the trend lines. Okay. So once we start to move, we get the approaches to the BBC. There's a couple of ways to enter. One is with the bullish divergence and a test of the BBC. And then an up close, and you can see we had bullish divergence all over the place in here. Okay, there, and here, and here, and here, and even over here. All right, then it reset, and we had bearish divergence, and it started to go in the other direction. And there were a couple of opportunities in here with the bearish divergence. Okay, right there, this is the down close below it. Okay. So there was a ton of opportunity today, and that's crude oil. And you can see I've drawn in different things in here, other ways you could enter in. You know, you really have to experience it. You have to take the free trial. The trial is free. All you have to do is go to www.cfrn.net/apply, give us your name and your email address, and sign up. Simple enough, and we'll get you in there, okay? The same stuff happened with gold today. All right. The same stuff happened with soybeans. So for those of you guys who trade the beans, you see all these trend lines that I drew in here on the soybeans. And that was, this was a little early, a little pre-market. This was at the open right here. This first move down, the second move down. No move up. Then we were looking over here. We started drawing the trend line on the way up, but it didn't happen. Then we drew a trend line on the way down, and the close up above that is what you would have been looking for, so right in there. But it's gone pretty much flat right in here, okay, so we wouldn't be doing anything with that. Soybeans we've done. I'll show you a little bit on the Russell, because I know some of you guys are Russell traders. Let's see, on the Russell, the same stuff, all right, the same exact thing. Okay, all these opportunities in here on the Russell. I think the last one that I actually pointed out was 780.9. Is that what it was? Yeah, 780.9 right here. This short was the last one that I pointed out in real time. And this one right here, I think I missed that this morning when that one happened. But then you see it changed directions and it came back, tested the BBC with bullish divergence. The up close could have gotten long right here. Okay. Let me draw a trend line. There were two things happening over here. One is you get the up close. You could have gotten the up close right there and gone long right there based on the bullish divergence and the bullish cross. Or you could have waited for the up close above the trend line, which would have been right over here in the same exact spot. All right. Right there. Okay. For that move up, to capture that move. The next thing that happened is you got a blue area here. It pulled right through the BBC down to the blue area. Now, in this case, you wouldn't have been buying the up close off the BBC because you don't have any divergence to support it. But you do have a trend line, and you do have the blue area right here coming off a higher high. So you could have expected that to hold and give at least one bar's profit, which it did. Once it closed up, it gave you an up close on the other side of that trend line right here. You could have gotten long for this little move up right here. Okay. So you see the same things happening over and over and over and over and over again on all these markets. I mean, right now, over here, we have a little bit of bearish divergence. This is the trend line. Okay. On the approach to the BBC, so it's got to get way down here and close below that. All right. Let's see. Hang on, I'm looking through the questions here now. Hang on. There, Jim, 1371. That question's not for me. That's for Dwayne. I think the 1371 number was... either looking left or a fib number. I'm not sure, but Dwayne will have to catch that one. All right, Alan, is there a weekly zone down there? I don't know what that you draw your trend lines. Okay, in the partners meeting, Frank. Just give me a list of things you want me to go over in the partners meeting. Anybody that's out there that's a partner, if you have anything you want covered in the partners meeting tomorrow night, just send it to us. Email to us, support at cfrn.net. Okay. All right, that's it. Mike's in the room, so I'm going to wrap it up here. All right, again, if you have taken the free trial with us, I mean, if you haven't taken the free trial with us, but if you're, and you want to, go to www.cfrn.net/apply. If you are on the free trial and you want to become a partner, look in your inbox. You should have something from us in the inbox. Spelling out what it takes to become a partner. If you do not, or you can't find it in your inbox and you want to know, send us an email at support@cfrn.net. Okay? That's it. I'm going to wrap up the recording right here. All right. The recording has stopped. I bet you guys missed that, huh? A couple of days without me, without me rambling like that for 20 minutes straight.
He's a rambling, hey, Mike. rambling.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
Man. All
right.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Hi, Dwayne. I'm fine, thanks. How are you doing?
Great, man. Fantastic. So what's your thoughts on the market, Mike?
Good volatility back, and just... so far, for today, our support down here was, we had two zones, 62.5 to 62, which is our low area, but they only bounced back to a resistance area again, so we're stuck between two areas. But that's the key support. And then if the 62 area is broken, then there's 1358, and that's kind of a major area. Unless they're going to go down to the 1332 area or thereabouts, but, so I see this down in here as pretty key spot for the market to needs to bounce from, or or in some bigger trouble. But it's also got a lot of work to do on the upside too. The rallies, I don't see a decent rally being able to stick. Something's going to have to change the mood of the market for that to happen, but it's been two-sided days, both days this week, and today we'll see if they have a comeback or not, but,
yeah, Monday was a little quiet, you know, because of Veterans Day, so I was surprised to see the market even open, but it was. But you're right, we've had some returning.
They do have a run-up and a sell-off, though. I'm sorry, Donnie.
Oh, that's okay. We have some returning volatility, as you mentioned, and that's, you know, that's great to see. As long as the river is flowing, then there's an opportunity for profits, whether it's on the short side or the long side, or, as you pointed out, it's been on both sides. Now, I want to show you this chart, Mike. You'll remember this because you were here the day that we added this. Let me move this out of the way so I can see. This goes back to May 16th. We ran a price channel. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We walked it all the way up. And then you and I were talking, and we said, based on technical analysis, that since this was an 80-point channel, that if they broke out of this channel, when they broke out of the channel, because eventually, you know, all channels will get broken, that the first place the market would move to would be half the distance of the channel, 40 points. So we created this little tool here that's exactly 40 points wide so that we could measure where that bottom would be. We created a duplicate trend line of this trend line right here, this bottom one, brought it down, put it at the bottom. Price came right down, hit it, and then beautifully walked right up at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 days. And then on the seventh day, it dropped through. So then the next logical place would be the other 40 points or the other half of this original channel. And so we walked it 1, 2, 3, 4 days. And now today, we've popped out of the bottom. We can see here on our ATR that volatility has really increased. So what are your thoughts? Based on this, looking at the daily chart, where do you see us going from here?
Yeah, this is right off the old paper charts, Dwayne. This is our old-fashioned stuff.
Some things never change.
No, they don't. We're looking at... based on this, we go down to, look over to your, to the right hand side of the chart. You see the 1320 over there?
Right here.
To the left, you have like a 6.
Right.
6, yeah, those lows down there would, attract some attention. What do you have for the next 40 points lower?
If we were to drop another 40 points?
Yeah. It would be under...
This little tool here is 40 rising. Points. So if it were to drop today, this is where it would take us. Well, actually, if it were going to drop today, I would have to put it there. And if it were going to be tomorrow... there, and the next day, and then so forth and so on. But what we'll do is we'll simply copy that trend line. We'll make a duplicate of it.
Right.
We'll grab
somewhere,
it.
I guess.
We'll
you know,
it
it's stair-stepping lower, so why not check that area? But, yeah. See, 1338. I'd have to look at my numbers again, but I think that comes into mind.
And did you guys see how I put that in place? I made the duplicate of the trend line, and then I drug it down, and I measured 40 points. See, this little tool that's 40 points wide, it doesn't matter where I put it on this channel. It's 40 points the whole way because these are parallel. So go ahead, Mike.
No, that's fine. Yeah, that's perfect. So, let's see, 1340. Yeah, that could be restored in the next few days. If they don't hold the 62 area, and especially 58, then we're looking probably down at that area, down in the high 1330s. And let's see, I have to go back and take a look. By 38 and then 32, I think are a couple levels down there. And then it looks like all the way down into the 1320 area is under where that 6 is, if they really got hit harder than they have been. But still no panic on the downside. In fact, we had a big reversal day, and the VIX was down about 8%, which was amazing. We do have option expiration on Friday, but yeah, no fear and no pretty orderly sell-offs, even though we're getting crunched pretty good. So to put in a good low, you want to see a bit of fear, some maybe the VIX spike up or have a really high trend reading or some sorts of signs of like, let me out of here, it's getting too much. So, there's still nibbling at lows and thinking that, two-sided action, well, we'll get a bounce and maybe get them back. But those bounces have been sold, and I'll stay with this downtrend until there's proof of some change. And that's the way I see it, Dwayne. I don't see fighting this thing because, we might get our intraday bounces, but they're not sticking. And so, the buyers just back away when they get the higher prices. And there's a number of people who've been bottom picking. Sounds like a nice. anyway.
I know to that which you refer, yeah.
So, those who are nibbling on longs are also stuck. So we're building good resistance above, and it's going to be hard to get a sustained rally the way I don't know what it'll take to get that to happen. So stay with shorts unless there's a, today's high, you say look left, and that's something I've always done, and especially for old support and resistance areas. Today's early high ran into the breakdown area from yesterday. They were trading sideways for a while, and then I think the last hour, last 90 minutes, they broke 78 area, and that was a bounce back to today's high, today's early bounce back high, and set up a good spot to for a shorting opportunity. So anyhow, that's so I would look at the on the top side. If they do put together a rally, they have to get above 1381 area, give or take a point. That was resistance. They tried to hold that as support yesterday, and then that broke, and then 78 broke, and then it was just downhill from there so far.
Now, as you can see here, Mike, we've got a descending channel that's starting to form. We connect these two tops mm-hmm. here and drop a parallel line in below. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4 touches so far. We only need 3 to create a channel. You need 2 to create a trend line, 3 to create a channel. And so we'll see if this is going to hold here. Okay, we already on this day. Let's see, today's Wednesday, so Tuesday, Monday, Friday. We spiked that a little bit. I could make this a little bigger and a little easier.
What if they just creep lower into where they almost converge here?
Yeah.
What's your price? That would be an interesting inflection point. If that were to happen, I would be looking for some sort of a snapback from that spot.
So that's what I did, was I just extended that trend line on out.
Okay.
So right there, where we drop this parallel trend line in here, and then this, it would all come together. Could potentially all come together.
Yeah.
Right in this area right here.
My fear is that would be ideal. I think they can come down through this.
Yeah, this could. Where we're at
now,
but
they can keep going.
Sure. Yeah, this has only been going on since early October. We're in mid-November, whereas this initial ascending channel that we had gone on since May 16th. So that had some legs to it. This one here is just getting started. So we may or may not see this bottom hold, and there may be a widening of the channel. We'll give it some time and see how it develops. But in order for this thing to start going higher, no matter what happens down here, guys, I've connected these two tops here. This trend line, I'll go ahead and extend that out.
There you go. Yeah, and there will be numbers that coincide with that.
This trend line here has to be broken for the market to go higher. Okay. The bottom, we may see further downside, but for this thing to start to put on any kind of a rally, it's going to have to take out this upper channel right here, upper trend line.
Dwayne, this is one of my old paper charts, like I'm wild on a flashback here.
Well, I learned an awful lot of this from you, Mike. I did. Learned an awful lot of this from you.
This is what we had. Draw your lines on there. But, I did have these little nice little tools.
They have made.
This is about an inch long, and I think I'll measure down here another inch.
Anything else you want to add, Mike, or we'll go out to Vegas and say hi to David and Robin?
Let's do that.
Okay, guys, don't go away. Don't touch your radio dial. We'll be right back.
You're listening to CFRN. A community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310, and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning, David. Welcome to the show. Good morning,
Thank
Robin.
You very much. And
good morning, Dwayne.
How are you?
Good. That voice, I don't
good
know if
morning,
that's something
David.
Off of a... Good morning.
Good morning, Robin. Michael and Mike.
Good morning,
good morning,
Robin and David.
Good morning,
good morning
Robin.
Michael. And good morning, Mike Reed.
Hi, guys. And gals.
Guys and gals.
Yeah.
Well, we've got the whole gang is all here.
Hi-ho, the gang's all here.
What's that, Dwayne?
I said, hi-ho, the gang's all here. I guess that makes it Gangnam style.
The gang is all here. Mike Reed, how are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good. Watching the market. That's, you know, we do have volatility, some volatility back. We certainly have a little bit more than we had prior to the election. So we still have our dead zones and our quiet times throughout the day, which is to be expected. I'm still waiting, though, and we may have some long period to wait, but I'm waiting for the good old days to come back. Because it's been years since we've had the kind of volatility. I'm not even sure it hasn't been a decade since we've had that. I can't exactly remember when we really had the big volatility every single day. You just knew the S&P was going to be a big moving machine. And, you know, the dead zone of those days was our big moves today. You know, that was the quiet time.
Yeah.
For that market.
2008 was some days like that. But yeah, now I know what you're talking about. I mean, a limit move. I don't even know what the limits are anymore.
I know. Neither do I. I've forgotten all about limits. I don't even think about them because we never encounter them anymore. When I do remember days where every day the market would gap up 15, 16 points up or down, and, you know, you just, you know, scratching your head on how anybody, you know, was managing all this on overnights.
Yeah.
So, well, we don't have those days anymore.
It didn't make for good emotional moves, good motion, and, especially early, which used to be a bread and butter trade that first 20 minutes, 20 to 40 minutes. But
the markets are as big as life, though, and they change over time, and it may be some really long period of time before we get all back into that type of activity. I'm thinking in the second term of this administration, we're probably going to see some evidence of that. I know that's, you know, almost meaningless to say because it's 4 years, but there's probably going to be a lot of, you know, a lot of changes. I think the administration is re-energized, which, you know, rightly so for them, to follow through with their path and go down the road that they're taking us down. And I think that's going to increase the volatility. I think the fact that America is going to be in more trouble than it is today is probably going to make markets more vulnerable to that type of volatility. So, you know, it's weird. You know, America has to have a really bad time in order for traders to have a really good time, maybe.
Yeah.
So I don't wish anything bad to happen to America, but you know, the fiscal cliff and the, you know, God knows what else.
Well, I just got another dollar. I just earned another dollar. A dollar for every time I hear fiscal cliff.
What gets said?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, good. You're going to be loaded.
Well, I'll send it to you.
How'd I get in on that deal?
Yeah, I don't kid.
We got to run that through the Vegas bookies.
Hey, yeah. Robin, I think your mic might be turned up just a tad high.
Too high, my mic?
Just a tad.
I'm on a different.
This is the clearest I've heard her, though, Dwayne.
Oh, it's very clear. Yeah.
Sorry. No wonder you said my hello was so earth shattering. Now, can you hear me?
I hear you perfectly. Loud.
Okay.
And clear. No, you're great.
Oh, hold on. I think I know what I have to do here.
No, you sound fine
machine.
Right now. Don't touch a thing.
Okay. You sound good.
Yeah, hearing you wasn't the issue.
Okay. Sorry about that. Mike, was your link okay, finally?
Your link that I sent you? Yeah. I'll have to try it again this afternoon.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Okay. I'll get back to you, though.
Okay.
I read your instructions, so I'll give that a shot.
Okay.
Appreciate that.
No problem. I'm getting the feeling that we're in for a real down move. That's my gut feeling.
I was about to ask you because we don't hear Robin's opinion very often. So.
Yeah, I've been watching, and it has been, I think, the reaction of the results of the election are very upsetting to so many people. I have never heard so many people respond after an election as I have this time, of people just blatantly angry about the results. I mean, just horribly angry My bug guy came in today, said that a woman hit him in the arm. And she said, "What's that for?" He says, "Because of the election." And it hit my bug guy. I was like, he says, people are just really angry and just have lost it. We were out 2 days searching for a possible suicide here in the desert. Guy lost his job and left with a gun and left his keys, cell phone, and money on the table. And we haven't found him yet. But, you know, just the things are just people are just losing it. And that's not a good sign.
No, and you know, it's funny. A lot of the people that were asked about their vote, what are they called when people leave the poll? Exit polls.
Oh, the exit polls, uh-huh.
In exit polls, and I read something and heard something on TV about it, and a lot of people left the exit polls, were asked, what do you think of the economy? And they said, well, we think it's improving. So there's quite a few people who believe, and by that we're talking millions and millions of people, quite a few people believe that Obama has improved the economy. I know that's really hard to believe, but a lot of people believe that it is improving and that he has the right to continue to try to, you know, make it work. You know, we're in our fifth straight year right now of a $1 trillion per year deficit, 5 years of that. And you can bet your bottom dollar, if you want a good trade, I wish there was a way to trade this, but you can bet your bottom dollar that we will have our sixth $1 trillion deficit year, this upcoming year, to year 2013. Right now, we're finishing our fifth, so we're going to go into our sixth year. And as a matter of fact, I'll just go out and publicly say right now, every year he is in office, we will have a $1 trillion deficit. So while by the time he's done, this will be up at $8 or $9 trillion per year. So that's coming. So it's funny, isn't it, that, you know, people, you're talking about people and how they feel about the election. There's quite a few people that think that things are getting better. Some things have bounced. You know, the housing market has bounced. But the bigger picture is that there's 47 million people on food stamps when there used to be like 31 million. There's more people have fallen out of the middle class and into what's categorized as poor. This is a president that has ostensibly, he's named himself, he's raised himself to the banner of he's for the little guy. And I don't think the little guy has had it this hard in 50 years.
No.
That he's going to be helping the little guy. And, you know, here's a question. If the rich get poorer, do the poor get richer?
No.
Because that's his philosophy.
I know. The poor get poorer. I mean, that's, come on. You know, stuff rolls downhill.
Yeah.
You know, it just,
that really is the philosophy.
Amazing.
If the rich get poorer, then in his mind, the poor will get richer. And I just don't think that is going, that's the basic ideological bent that he's on.
Yep.
We have to take it from them, damp it down, tamp it down, and somehow that means the poor get richer. And I don't think so. I think the poor are going to find it harder to get a good job. I think the middle class are going to find it harder to get a good job. So we'll see. You know, he's the president, so we'll work with that, and we all know that we will. I've heard the same thing, though, as well. I've talked to people, and I know that people are upset about it, but we're just going to have to get down to the business of, you know, living our lives and making our particular situations work under these conditions. That's it.
You know. Well, there's a conference, some businessmen, I heard an interview with the head of the New York Stock Exchange, but they're having a conference with businessmen. They want to know before they're ready to start investing money. They just want to know what their tax rates are going to be.
Right.
And they want to know what the costs are going to be. They said, let us know what the rules are, and we're ready to play.
Nobody knows.
So,
you can't know it.
Yeah. But that's why they need to get this thing straightened out here in a hurry. And
ironically, businessmen want to have a plan.
Yeah. I mean,
the problem is Obama doesn't have a plan. So therefore, how can anybody else have a plan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They just want to know what their costs of doing, what their taxes are going to be, and that. I think that's get that straightened out. Maybe things are going to get turned around here, but well, let's see. Hopefully, something will come out of that meeting.
Well, I hope he gets the voice of reason somehow, because
yeah.
I mean, I'm hearing company after company after company can't wait to go to part time so that they don't have to pay for the health care.
Yeah.
They're going to go part time so they don't have to do the health care costs that Obamacare is going to throw on their companies. So they're going to put everybody part time.
Yeah, that's the we talked about this yesterday, Duane.
Oh, I missed it. Sorry.
Well, no, the Walmart thing that you know the whole country is going to be going doing what Walmart was criticized for, which is that they allow employees to move up to a certain number of hours, and then in order to not pay the insurance, they cut off them at that point, and then those people have to use state insurance, and the states were complaining, and so now we have an entire country that's looking to utilize that program. Because they don't want employees to get over that, because health care is going to cost. Come on, you know this as much as anybody else. Anybody who has ever watched the government come up with an estimate about what something's going to cost, they're wrong by orders of 3, 4, and 5 on cost. So whatever they say this thing is going to cost, it's going to be 3 times that expensive by the time it's done. You know that. Everybody knows that. And that's what businessmen know. And that's why they're worrying. And that's why there's people putting out the information now that they're going to be getting rid of employees or they're going to be cutting the hours and so on. It's too bad, you know. So get ready for that. It's going to be interesting how we're going to grow the economy when people are laying people off even more than before.
James just shared a comment. He said that Dennis Miller, who I guess you remember him from Saturday Night Live and now he has his own universe that he lives in, he made a comment about work. Essentially, he said that if you are a family of four and earning less than $45,000, you are a chump. You should stay home, be with your family, and you will get more income from government benefits than you get busting your butt at work. Well, that's a way to rally the troops there, Dennis. Thank you for that.
Yeah, no doubt.
Paul says that the average effective income tax rate for the top 1% is about 14%. He also reminds me that we have a presidential news conference coming up at 1:30 today. Also, we have the release of the Fed notes this afternoon.
Let's talk about something really positive, like the CIA affair.
Well, I'd like to hang around, but I have to.
All right, Mike.
I need to get going here.
All right, buddy. Well,
okay,
thanks for
Mike.
Dropping in.
Nice to hear from you, Mike.
Yeah, you guys have a great day. I'll step back either later this week or next week. So
have a great week and be well and keep me posted.
Okay, I will, Robin.
Okay.
Thanks, guys. Take care, Duane. Thanks for having me.
See you later,
okay,
Mike.
We'll talk to you soon. Regarding General Petraeus, the interesting thing is that this scandal broke the day before he was supposed to testify in front of Congress about what happened in Benghazi. Well, the timing of that, I know, you know, coincidences happen, but that does seem awfully coincidental.
Convenient.
And we don't know, and I don't know what testimony he was going to give or whose side he was going to be on, but the way that this thing evolved, the explanation, I read it yesterday on air about how convoluted the whole process was of two people got upset with each other, and he got drug into the thing through his mystery email. I mean, I don't know. Go figure. It's a real spy thriller. I know he's not very thrilled about it, but he's supposed to. I think they're going to go ahead with the testimony tomorrow. Someone correct me if I'm not correct on that, but I think it is tomorrow.
Well, I'll tell you something. We've talked about conspiracy theories, Duane, on the program, and you know the various things we see on the internet and how people get wound up in them. And I've always been very, very hesitant to go along with, I mean, I know conspiracies exist, of course, but that they're extremely difficult to pull off and that people get, they fall apart. The more, every time you add an additional person to a so-called conspiracy, it raises by orders of magnitude the odds of the conspiracy failing and people getting caught, etc. And we live our days, every single day, seeing prosecutors across the country busting conspiracy after conspiracy. We see the gumshoe reporters out there, the investigative reporters out there finding people and busting conspiracies. But I have to tell you that the greatest evidence to me that what I've been talking about probably is correct about conspiracies is that the head of the CIA can't have an affair without getting caught. I mean, this is the guy that runs the black helicopters. This is the guy that has all the secret ops and the night goggles and the everything else to make
and the disguises and the
disguises and the smoke bombs. He's got everything he needs to make conspiracies work, and he can't have a simple, ordinary affair without the entire world knowing about it. Do we need any more evidence that the conspiracy theories are just they're just nuts? These guys can't pull this stuff off if they wanted to.
I think women need to be holding all these higher offices from now on.
I'm starting to agree with you.
You know, I'm sure they're out there the same way, but for some reason,
no, there's a reasonable.
There's this flurry of male inappropriate actions that gets nauseating after a while.
All right, well...
From a female perspective.
I've said my piece.
Okay.
You know, gosh darn CIA director can't have an affair without us all knowing about it. That does not bode well for conspiracy theorists.
Oh, it's a little scary.
It is. It's almost disappointing.
Yeah.
It really is. I was hoping there was somebody out there that had something going on. They could kind of, you know, I don't know.
Well, what do you think of this campaign of CNBC, the Rise Above campaign? I think when I heard the exit polls, I mean, I didn't hear the things that you were talking about, but I heard that my exit polls that I had gotten information on was that people just wanted the bickering to stop and that the people to cross the aisle and shake each other's hand and get something done.
We do, and I think everybody wants that. I think most ordinary Americans, people that are not on the extremes, I'm not talking about the extreme right or the extreme left, because the extremeness of them makes a fight. I mean, that's the problem.
Yep.
But I think ordinary Americans from day one in this crisis, I think the beauty of the American people is that, look at... None of these people, they had polls. Nobody wanted taxes raised on anybody. Nobody was hating on the rich. Nobody was hating on the poor. Everybody realized that everyone had been hurt in this. The person that was working extra hard to divide and conquer was President Obama. He was out trying to split the country up and get one group to be mad at another group, divide and conquer, old Chicago-style politics.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think people are reasonable. I really do. I think the vast majority of people are reasonable. And they all understood that everyone was hurt in this, and there's nobody to punish. Let's work together and get things done. The problem is that we really do have the extremes at work here in trying to get Congress and trying to cross the aisle, et cetera. You're going to see a little bit of a tempered attempt at that, and then later we're going to be back to business as usual. If you want to see a president that really made a difference, strangely enough, it was Bill Clinton in his second round. You know, he basically turned from a decently left person into a moderate that was able to make enormous amounts of government business get pushed through. The left and the right. That's the leadership thing.
He was really the master at doing that. I have to say, of the presidents that I've seen, he had been the master of doing that.
Right. We're not going to see that in this administration.
No, I don't.
A deal. We may get a deal here shortly, you know, of some kind where they do something because they need to do a deal. But it's the same people. It's the same players from day one forward. We still have Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, President Obama, and we have the same people on the other side. And you're not going to see much of a change.
And we have the impeached president, Bill Clinton.
And we have the impeached President Clinton, which, you know, that's another one. You know, he had all the things at his disposal, but he also couldn't have a little fun on the side without the world knowing about it. You know, these guys are not exactly experts at hiding this stuff and keeping conspiracies quiet.
And as a member of the men pointed out, Robin, that those affairs that you're referring to, there tends to be a woman involved in those.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They're the culprits.
Not always. I mean, there was the page
they can
boy,
be.
There was the page boy scandal of the 80s in Congress, but beyond that, pretty much there's a woman involved for the most part.
Yeah. Well, for sure. For sure.
Makes a good point there, Robin.
Well, but you know, there's an attraction for women to men with power. I mean, that's a turn on for women. So now you've got the guys that have a physical need, and you've got the women that are turned on by the power, and now you got a bad combination for it's the perfect storm. What can I tell you?
Mm-hmm.
That's just how life goes.
Well, there you are. All right, so Dwayne, you want to move on? We'll take a look at some of the various markets and see where we are for the day.
Yeah.
Can I put a little contest out there today?
Sure.
Of course.
For I'm going to send a Sharpen Your Trading Performance CD to the person who can guess what the close of the S&P 500 is at 4 o'clock. So what's the closing price at 4? And I will send a CD. So people in the room can just go out there. And the first one to put their number, though, Dwayne, you're going to have to – I'm going to throw that on you. You'll have to manage that.
Okay.
Of the first person to get the right number that pops up in your thing, because I can't see it.
Yeah, no, I'll save the list of
okay,
folks,
so you'll save the list. So put your number out there. Where do you think the S&P is going to close today? Right at 4 o'clock. What's the price right at 4 o'clock? The closer, the better.
Do you want the futures price or the cash price?
What do you think?
It's your contest.
Either one.
You can't say either one because they're going to be two different.
Okay,
numbers.
So which one do you think is better, easier to track?
Since we are watching the E-mini futures here, why don't we go with the E-mini futures price?
Okay, perfect.
I think they're going to close in Chicago. That's my guess.
I think you won.
Right.
You smart aleck, you. You're such a smart aleck.
To your question, Ray, let me scroll back up here for a second. What do you guys think about states petitioning to secede from the U.S.? What states have actually petitioned to do that, Ray? Is that just
Texas, I think.
Is it being taken seriously? I mean, do they really want to...
Does
any state really want to secede from the union? Well, they may, you know, saber-rattling threats, they may say that, but they secede from the union. They lose all federal monies, all federal protections, all anything from the Fed. I mean, I just, let's see, 30 states have enough signatures, according to Dwayne G., but so far no state has actually filed.
I think they said Texas had enough signatures. I think that was the last I heard.
Yeah. And Ray says that Texas is the only state with enough of a economy on its own to be able to survive actually doing that.
Yeah.
And you know, something like that is so big and so far-reaching. When you get into things like education and all the other things that come from the federal government, boy – I would hate to be the guy that had to crunch those numbers and determine whether we can pull it off or not. Because if you have to show back, if you have to go back in a year with your hat in your hand and say, "Hey guys, we made a huge mistake. Will you let us back in?" That would be tough.
Yeah, I'll throw my little bit in here. I believe that if a entire community, like a state, had their fill of the federal government and the whole environment that we're in and on, all of it had just, they'd all had enough of it. I think you'd see a cohesiveness in that group of people, in that state, mm-hmm. where they would be willing to pay more in taxes and do whatever they had to do to make the thing work. And it actually might work way, way better than anyone could ever have imagined because of the fear that everybody has. Like you say, the federal government and the money they're paying and all that stuff, all these things, all these crutches that they have, the whole state might come together in a way that we can only wish America would come together. That state might come together and really kick some butt and be able to pull it off, and that may actually inspire other states to start considering that. And then before you know it, we don't have a United States, but what we would have then is a government that has to wake up to the fact that they don't have this control. They can't run roughshod over the states. They can't just keep teasing people with the threat of taking away money or the promise of the gift of money unless you vote this way or do that. And at some point, I would not be surprised in the next 10 years if we saw something like that happen and it actually become a success. I would not be surprised if it actually succeeded because of the cohesiveness and the spirit of a group of people, even the size of Texas, that could get together and say, we are all going to pull this off. We're going to make this work. I'll bet you anything it would work.
Well, Ed says that we in Texas send in much more in taxes to the federal government than we receive in return, and that if we did do that, everyone would move here. And Dwayne G. points out that, which is true, that although you don't receive any money from the federal government after you secede from the Union, you don't pay any money to them either. So
that's a good point.
Yep. I think if any state could do it, it would be Texas.
Well, we'll see.
Well, there apparently, you know, a lot of folks have commented on this, and there are by 6 a.m. Wednesday, more than 675,000 digital signatures appeared on 69 separate secession petitions covering all 50 states. According to a Daily Caller analysis of requests lodged with the White House's We the People online petition system. Well, apparently a lot of people are signing the online petitions. I just don't know how many people have really thought it all the way through. I mean, I'm a pioneering sort. My wife and I, we've given serious consideration, and still, I mean, we're potentially going to live out the rest of our life in some other country, be it Ecuador or somewhere else. And so, by the same token, if we're willing to go and be an expat somewhere, as many of our radio listeners are expats, if we were willing to live that lifestyle, then we're certainly not afraid to be in a state that would secede from the Union. I just know that it'd be much easier for not that easy is the best, but it would be easier for us to pick up and go than it would be to change the entire way that a state works. I mean, gosh, do you put a state-ran militia on the border of the state to keep people out? Do you have your own immigration policy? Is a guy from South Carolina, can your cousin still just come and visit you for the weekend or holiday, or does he have to get, you know, some kind of special visa? You know what I'm saying? I mean, the thing just gets so complicated. Now, I don't doubt that it could be done, but I think people have to really think about all
it requires a whole new bunch of decisions to be made, no doubt.
Yeah, big headache.
Yeah, but probably no more complex than the system that we have now with regard to the interaction between states and governments, taxes and rebates and federal funds and highway funds and health care and God knows what. No more complicated than that. And in the end, I just want to say it again, you, meaning anybody, might be surprised that if a state comes to the point where they actually say to themselves, we're going to do this, and all the people vote to do it, you might be surprised at how cohesive and how powerfully a state is when it's that cohesively put together with all members saying, yes, this is something that we want to do. We're willing to pay more in taxes because we understand now we're covering this, this, and this. Hell, they may even pay less in taxes and be able to pull it off. Wouldn't that be funny? Wouldn't that be something?
Well, we got to where we are today over a period of a couple hundred years. So, you know, to become a freestanding state, that's an overnight kind of thing. So that adjustment would be a real shock to the system. Mm-hmm. I understand what you're saying, David, is that all the things that we have in place right now, you know, all of the infrastructure, that has evolved over a very long period of time, and there's been
no doubt
many, many adjustments made along the way.
It's huge. There's no doubt, Dan. It's huge. It's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. But I believe it could be done if they wanted to, if they were of a mind to do it. And with all the divisiveness and everything going on, I wouldn't be surprised to see it at some point. It still maybe takes another, maybe, who knows, it could happen at any time. It may take another 20 years, but I wouldn't be surprised to see it, especially if we continue with this kind of leadership that we have now, which is very divisive and, you know, has put the country in the position that we're currently in. Unless you just want to blame George Bush for everything.
Frank?
Yeah, let's give him 4 more years. 4 more years of blaming him.
Frank, you're so funny. He says, last time that secession was tried, how did that work out? Other than Mrs. Lincoln, how did you enjoy the play? Frank, your mind is amazing. It's like an amusement park.
With tickets being sold each minute.
Wow.
All right. If you want, let's take a quick look. Did you have anything else, Robin, that you were going to say?
No.
Oh, sounded like you had said something there. I hear your cat also. I don't know.
She was trying to get into the conversation.
Okay. Okay, so Dwayne, you want to take a quick look at the S&P 500 and
sure.
Let's take a review of it and see where we are, at least from our particular perspective. Let's get over to it here. S&P, you know, since November 8th, we put out a roadmap that was indicating that the S&P wanted to continue lower into December. So we've been warning people on the program and otherwise to not really, other than intraday for the bounces and those kinds of things, which are perfectly adequate, but that the basic idea is that the S&P really wants to go down into December, that the cycle wants to push it down into December of this year. So that's next month. And that it wants to touch 57, 58 in doing so. So really the whole roadmap was like something from 1400, I forgot what the number was on the upside, but that it would fail at 1400 or so and decline down to 1358, 1357. That's what we're seeing right now, is the market's trying to do that. It's trying to push through. It's not rallying very well. Robin, you'd mentioned earlier that, you know, the market, you think a bigger move is coming. And listen, it can cut through, you know, 58 is nearby. That's very close. But that's been our target. That's the minimum on the downside that we would expect here. And some people had asked us the question, because we've talked for quite some time about the market continuing higher later, much longer term, but later for a test or attempt at 1515. And we don't, that nothing in that regard has changed yet. But when the president was elected, the election and some other news that we've talked about pushed the market through an area that indicated that a much larger force was at work. And that force, you know, quote unquote, requires the market to go down into December. And then December, we believe, is going to be a very important bottom for the market. So whatever damage the market wants to do, it wants to get it done between now and December. That doesn't mean December 1st. That actually just means the month of December. So if the market has it in it, first of all, we would want to go at or near 58 and then potentially even much lower than that. So that's where we are. That's what we think needs to be done here. I was surprised by the market breaking below the 1493 and closing below it. So that turned our short-term view, quote-unquote short-term view, into a new position which would require the market to head lower into December and to complete, like we talked about, the 1358, 1357 level and lower potentially. So that's everything we have on the S&P now. You know, very quiet day today, very relatively low volatility. The one rally that we had earlier today was very, very minor, very, very minor, and was not really able to touch important levels on the upside. I mean, there's always a support or resistance level somewhere, but really for today, the advance that they had early in the session, getting up to 78 or whatever it was, really wasn't much. That was really very, very light, and they're still trying to put in a bottom here. So I would be careful. I don't think there's any problem with long positions intraday on the smaller term types of setups, time frames, etc. But I think longer term, I would warn people and have warned people since November 8th to be careful of any longer term position on the long side until we get more confirmation, further continuation move on the downside. I think there's a lot more pressure working on the market here than normal, and that's what's going to push the market to lower prices. What about you, Dwayne?
You know, this 62-63 area, it's held up now for, we're into the third hour. We're about to move into the fourth hour that it's held. We do have a weekly trading zone below that. In fact, I think we have two more below that. I thought today when we came down to this 1366, yesterday we were pressing down to this zone, but we got stopped right here at 66. And then the market did an about face and ran up 20 points. That's a pretty good move. Mm-hmm. And so as we came down this morning, I said a real test of what this market is all about is what happens at 66 when we come back down to it. Because typically on something like this, even if the market's going to go lower, that 66 should have been good for a bounce of, I don't know, 3 to 5 points, just because people were so eager to buy it yesterday. There's still that leftover crowd that goes, oh, yeah, that was a good price yesterday. Let me get some. The thing only bounced 2 points. It bounced from 66 and a quarter to 68 and a quarter. And then it
just
collapsed.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, very minor.
It just collapsed, man. So this is hell so far. So we'll look to trade back up to the 75, 76 if the opportunity presents. And if it breaks below 62, then, you know, I agree that there's more room on the short side. And we were talking with Mike there, and we drew this little – it's getting a little crowded with all these lines here. But if you pick them apart one by one, if we break through here, that's a pretty good drop down to that next 40-point mile marker. So we'll see.
And that's a substantially lower.
It is. It's quite a drop. And we're 47 days away from the fiscal cliff. So that's got to be weighing heavy on everybody. The tax cuts are expiring. The really amazing thing today, and I guess we can talk about it later when we get to Facebook, is that 777 million new shares hit the market today, and they're actually up. Mm-hmm. They're up like 10% on the day. So everybody's scratching their head over that one.
Well, so am I.
Want to go to gold?
Yeah, let's take a quick look. So S&P, I'm thinking they're going to bust that. We're going to see lower than where we are now before it's over. Okay, so gold. Let's take a quick look at this. I think the Obama election is bullish on gold, period. And because I think Obama's election is bullish on gold, why do I think that? One reason is that Obama represents uncertainty, obviously. Even if you're on the left, you know that there's a great deal of uncertainty around what the health care plan, which is now law, finally, you know, is in, and it's not going to be changed for many, many, many years. It's greatly uncertain what that is going to do to business. And people know intrinsically, inherently, that the government's estimates and so on about what it's going to cost business is going to be completely wrong, obviously. So there's a great deal of uncertainty for business, and uncertainty for business means uncertainty for the economy. So that means gold, which loves uncertainty. That's what makes gold rally. Gold does not rally on certainty. It doesn't rally on everything's going to be okay. Gold rallies on no one knows for sure, we better buy some gold. That's basically what happens. Gold is a storehouse of value. It's believed in. There's a deeper belief in gold probably than any other type of instrument ever devised by man in terms of value. Like, here's something that actually has inherent value. You can say the same thing perhaps of diamonds or some other natural thing, but I think as a worldwide view, I think gold probably is it. Probably peaks out. Maybe, I don't know, Dwayne, maybe there's some other way of you know, finding the ultimate thing to put your money in that has the ultimate value. I'm thinking it's probably gold.
Especially globally.
Because number one, it's portable to a degree. I mean, you know, after you get so many bars, it's pretty heavy. but you can pick up your gold. As we've seen evidence throughout history, you can pick up your gold and run to another country to escape whatever's going on. But you can't pick up your real estate and go. If you have paper assets, such as the stock market, you know, those...
You have to cash them in.
You know, picking those up and running with those can be difficult. So, yeah, I think... And because currencies get devalued, there was a huge devaluation in the peso some years back where a lot of retired Americans who had converted their savings into pesos literally lost everything and had to move back to America and create jobs. So I think there will always be, until some alchemist figures a way to make gold, I think it will always be that safe haven storehouse of value.
Yeah. So it, in our opinion, Obama and this administration, their viewpoint, their upcoming plans, et cetera, are bullish on gold because they represent uncertainty, certainly uncertainty for the business community, which means uncertainty for the average man who may or may not have his job or may or may not have the same number of hours, as an example. And you do that in mass across the country. We have a federal law now for healthcare. It represents a lot of uncertainty along with many other factors. So we're bullish on gold. Now, we're not news people, and I'm verbalizing that. That's my best take on it. I really am not. I don't want anybody to act on that based upon what I just said. That just happens to be my opinion. There's other much more savvy, I think, news people, fundamentalists than I am. But one of the reasons I am saying it with such strength is because I believe that gold technically is in a very strong position. I believe we're not going to see any monthly or weekly closes below 1680 long until next year. So I believe the market's going to continue higher from here. We do have a gold roadmap out for those of you if you'd like to see it, and I'm going to talk a little bit about it here. You can go to pagetrader.com, take a free trial, and it'll show you the gold roadmap, and you can take a look at what we're looking at. But for general purposes, I like the idea of being long in gold, and certainly for shorter-term traders, there's going to be the usual ups and downs. But in the big picture, we think gold wants to go higher into January of next year. So all kinds of trading opportunities on the long side will present themselves between now and January. Now, one of the interesting things for us about gold is that the natural price levels are not that far away from where we are now. So therefore, because there's enough time for the market to continue up here into early next year, I believe that there's the possibility of substantially higher prices. So I like the idea of being long. I like the idea of taking some off at some of the roadmap the main roadmap target, and then continuing to hold more than a usual amount than you might normally hold for your aggressive exit for the higher prices that may come. Now that I've said that, I do also want to say that there should be no daily or especially weekly closes below 1680 between now and next year. So you remember, you have to trade with a stop, otherwise you're going to have to stop trading. It's my new saying.
True story.
So, yeah. So that's my outlook on gold. I don't know if there's anything else really to say. These are longer term viewpoints. But I have to say that, you know, we talk more about news. Dwayne has brought it up. He reads it, and we go into it a lot. And it's got me thinking about news more and watching news and markets together. And that's my best take. It's a pretty easy one, I think, to put together, that gold is impacted bullishly by this administration. I think it would have been bearish, therefore, if Mitt Romney would have gotten into office. I think there would have been greater certainty and the potential for a decline, a pretty substantial one, in gold. So that's our outlook there. We talked, or Dwayne, you mentioned Facebook earlier, and certainly we have a huge rally in Facebook today. And I don't have a lot to add to it, except that, like you said, it seems counterintuitive. we're following this stock, but I don't have a lot to say about it. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure I have what we call the correct base number for this stock, just because of the way that it recently acted. It has run to some important levels that we thought that they should run to, but I'm still watching this stock. I'm still not sure that I could make a call on this yet, but there's no doubt we have a beautiful up day going on
in
the stock.
Yeah, this thing is up $2, which for a $21 stock, that's over 10%.
Yeah. For people with reflected wave, I'll say this. I mean, we did have a reflected wave weekly top on October 22nd, the week of October 22nd, and we've had a multi-week move sideways to lower. Today firms that up pretty nicely, but we're still well below the highs. And just so that people know, the high is 24.25. We're trading at 21.90. That doesn't sound like that far away. In the S&P, it's not, but in a stock that's trading at $21.90, that's quite a move still away. So we'll see how they handle this with regard to the weekly stuff. And I know there's a lot of calls for the stock to continue, that it really is, even now, still in a bearish position. Even with today's rally, longer term, we're very much in the decline. So it's going to be interesting to see how they handle, you know, the really critical and really easy and obvious levels that somebody might be shorting this at. This is a speculative, you know, for me, more speculator type of stock. If somebody wants to, if we see a few more days of up here or, you know, some more critical levels being reached, it might be interesting to put a trade on and manage it correctly and see if there's something more to it on the downside. So,
well, here's what, for those who maybe haven't followed this story, today, $750 million, 777 million new shares became available to be freely traded. The float increased by 777 million shares. There's a lot of companies that don't even have that many shares authorized and certainly not outstanding. Everyone was waiting and watching for this thing to fall off the cliff, because a lot of the employees, ex-employees, and early investors, this is their first chance to be able to sell some of their stock and realize something for either the time they've spent working for the company or money that they invested in the company prior to them going public. Whoever they got to stand on the bid to support this thing today, I mean, just having someone support it so that it doesn't go negative on the day would be a huge task. But we're seeing the opposite of that. We're seeing it run up 10% on the day. So I'm very anxious to see how this plays out over the next few days. And I can't help but be curious if there isn't some news coming out that perhaps some of these folks who are quote-unquote insiders, because they either work for the company or were early investors, are aware of this news and aren't selling their shares today.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. The markets can be very non-intuitive, and something so obvious. I mean, the numbers are mind-boggling, how many shares that they've released, and you'd think that that would dilute, and that would be a very easy conclusion and very obvious, but that isn't the case. And it not only is it not the case, Dwayne, but the general market is going down, has a lot of pressure on it.
Yep.
And this is fighting even that.
Yep.
So very interesting. No doubt about it.
The president took the podium. The president just took the podium. He's doing a news conference right now.
You want to put it up?
No, I don't want to put it up. I don't even know what it is he's holding the news conference about.
It's his first conference since him being elected.
Oh, you know, my wife commented the other day. She goes, he's been awful quiet since he won the election. So you're right. This is the first one. The first time he's come out and spoke publicly. So
he's been very quiet since then. I think he was partying with a lot of the little people that he wants to help.
Maybe that was it.
A lot of those little people have really expensive cars and dress really well, though. I'm not sure why that is.
He was down on Wall Street smoking some weed with the Occupy guys.
Right, exactly. All right, let's see. We'll move on then if we don't want to do that. We talked about the bond market. We don't have anything but simply to say that the week of November 12th, which we forecast last week would be a top in the bond market. We're about halfway through the week. I think it's important for people who are bond traders to take a look at this and consider some of the critical price levels in bonds. Additionally, for people who are going to refinance or do something, if they do it right at this time, you'll be getting in at a moment where some of the lowest rates in history will be given out for mortgages and such. It's not just directly related to the bond market, but typically the bond market rallies, you know, the LIBOR rate has something to do with it, and we all know what the LIBOR rate's based upon. A bunch of phone calls get made, and people kind of wake up, and they kind of look in the mirror and kind of figure out how they feel that day, and they tell you what they think the rate is, or something like that, right? I mean, I can't remember what the scandal was, but the interest rates are very low. Banks are certainly, you have to be super qualified, there's no question, in order to get a loan from the banks. And there still is Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and even them, you have to be better qualified than you used to be. So, you know, if you're going to go in and do these things, you have to have your paperwork in order, you have to have your ducks in a row, and so on, in order to get yourself a home loan. I can't blame them. We just came out. I mean, I realize there's other factors at work, but I don't blame them. A whole bunch of banks went out of business. Their industry had a huge shakeup. Billions and billions of dollars worth of mortgages went upside down. It's going to take another 10 to 15 years for all those mortgages to go completely through, you know, all the people, all the homes to get foreclosed on and all the paperwork to get transferred. And, you know, nobody likes that. And these banks are being extremely cautious with their money because they don't want to have more bad loans. And they're, you know, I'll just say it. I don't blame them, even though I know there's other factors at work that are preventing them in many cases from making a loan. If our businesses had been through the kind of thing that their businesses had been through, we would probably, you know, human nature is certainly a part of what's at work here. They're not going to just go out and make some bad loans just to get the money flowing. You know, they're going to try to make the very best loan they can. They're going to qualify people. And you know what? God love them. You know why? Because that's the way it should be. If you can't afford it, well, then you can't buy it. That's how it goes. If you're not qualified to get somebody to loan you money for 30 years and you don't have the income to support the payment for that money, why should somebody loan that? Why would somebody want to do that? Unless there's some federal program that says people who can't afford it should be able to. They should be able to participate in this. Let's make it good for all of them. And I'll tell you right here and right now, I don't really care if, you know, a person's opinion is the other way or not. I think a big part of the housing crash was because the government wanted to do something for the little guy. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. And they wanted to do something good for the little guy, and they made housing and the booming housing market available to people who could not afford to buy the home. Period. They made loans available to people who, but for that legislation, would never, ever be able to buy the home. So it isn't so much of a surprise, is it, that the house of cards comes tumbling down. And there's other factors, I realize, at work. But I'm saying that was one huge factor in this, is let's help the little guy. And we have a president whose whole theme is that he wants to help out the little guy. At the expense of what? I don't know. But like I said earlier, if the rich do get poorer, do the poor actually get richer? I wonder what the answer to that is. I wonder how that really works. Anyway, go get a home. Go get a home loan. It's a good time right now. Weekly top in the bond market. All right. I digressed. Let me move on to anything else we have here. We have a few other things of interest. Let's see. There was a stock that somebody had mentioned, but we'll get to it in a minute here. We have a roadmap out on the euro currency that we all talk about. I'm just going to say that I believe that the euro has likely reached a bottom this week, and I think it would be important for people to consider taking the long side. If you want to see the whole roadmap, you're welcome to come to pagetrader.com, sign up for a free trial. It'll show you the roadmap right in the messenger window, and that may be something that you want to put to work in your own trading, because this is an important period for this particular currency. This is linked to the dollar, and you know the dollar and other. You can do all that and trade by proxy in other markets and all that. But specifically for this market, I think we're very close, if not already at a very important juncture, and that we're looking for specific prices on the upside. So you might want to take a look at that, or could just consider being long as it starts to line up for that. We do have things lining up for crude, but I'm going to wait on crude. I will give the crude one out on the program. You can, we'll talk about that, but we're going to wait a little bit longer before doing anything with crude. Silver, people have asked about silver. I believe silver is going to continue to move higher off of the level that we just, this weekly bottom that we just had in silver. I like both silver and gold. There's some people that say that silver is even more precious of a metal than gold, but I think the general consensus is that the real value is in the gold market, like we talked about earlier. Okay, right. BIDU, Dwayne, was the stock. Somebody had asked us about that. They've had a pretty good move down recently here this week. Let's see, BIDU. Anyway,
the whole Chinese economy has gotten hit pretty bad.
What is that now?
The entire Chinese economy has been hit pretty hard.
Okay.
And this is a Chinese company. It's
like
the Chinese equivalent of Google, kind of.
Okay. Yeah, so they took a pretty good whack on the downside here. And I don't have any real analysis on it, just noting that they did move lower and sharply lower at that. So keep that in, we'll keep watching that. I don't have a lot to add to Tesla, the stock we talked about yesterday. And let's run. There's a couple other quick ones here, Dwayne, and then we'll that'll give us the whole shoot and match. I didn't call it, but I could have on Coco. We've had a nice move up. We didn't make the call on the program, nor did we put it out as a roadmap. So I'm not going to say anything about it. Just that they had a very nice move up from a level that we had considered putting a roadmap on for. Sizable move up, and they completed their target today. So Coco, not a bad market, not a bad market at all. This market is very movable. They move big, and they can move big in one day. So Groupon, big move down. We've talked about Groupon before. You've talked about their business model and you know some of the vagaries of their business model and why it might not really work out in the end, and that you know, they've had a pretty good decline. This has been a market that's been in decline for quite some time here, if you take a look at Groupon. There's some opportunities here for trading, but I don't think the long-term prospects of this stock are very interesting to me. I mean, this is a stock that was trading at $31 back in 2011. You know, where it's trading today is at $2,
look at
$2.70.
Look at that gap right there.
Yeah.
From $4 down to $3.
Yeah, that's huge. So I'd be careful with trading that and playing around with that. Let's see if there's anything else. Okay, we talked about corn yesterday, and I don't know if you did anything with corn, Dwayne, or not.
We have a tweet out on corn, but it hasn't been triggered as of yet.
Okay. The corn market continued to break lower, and I've been talking about the market, you know, it's shortable on rallies into next week. So we'll keep an eye on this into next week. We have a few days left here, and we'll see where we are when we get there. But nothing really big and important.
What
and I think
what
right
we're
now,
looking at is we're looking at being short on a stop below 708 in corn.
Okay.
For
okay.
a move down to this target right here, which is about 685.
That's a sizable move there.
So we're just waiting to see if it's going to trigger or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's they made a low of 710. It looks to me like we're trading at 726 right now, so we have a bounce underway.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk more about this. It's an interesting market, tied in with other markets like soybeans, et cetera. And then one last thing, we may have a roadmap for natural gas, a market that I know most people don't trade, and I realize that it's an obscure market. Most people don't even know that there is a natural gas market, a futures market for natural gas. Natural gas is becoming more important as an energy source, and I think it's going to be a market that gets more liquid over time. But I will say that if natural gas, I mean, we're very close to a top in natural gas on the daily chart, but if by chance they were able to get a little bit higher here, you know, up to, well, you know what, we'll wait until they do that, and then I'll give it out. And then if for those of you who want to trade it, we'll take it at that time. But we're very close to a daily top right now. Unreflected wave. And so if by chance they do move up either later today or tomorrow a little bit higher, I would be comfortable giving that out as a roadmappable trade for people who want to take maybe their first step in the natural gas market. Usually it's traded by professionals. Regular folk just don't really, in many cases, even know about it. So, and I think that is everything we've got. Dwayne, let me take one last look here. Yeah, you know, it's real quiet in the S&P. The market's comfortable at these lows. I think, as we've said before, we're going to be seeing lower prices here into December, and keep an eye out for that. Just be cautious on the long side. Other than intraday, I don't like the idea of anybody selling puts here or something like that. So that's our take on it. And the puts that we do have on in various stocks, those stocks were selected for their strength. Hopefully we won't have to live through too much on the downside on that, because we have, at any one time, we've got a decent number of options working for us on both sides of the market, actually.
Ed had a question for you on natural gas. Would you be looking at buying a breakout or selling where we are now as a top?
Well, I'll tell you, in reality, neither. What I would be looking to do, let me go back to natural gas. What I'd like to see, and this is just a preference for a trade setup. You know, this is the way I'd like to see it. let's just say that into the next day or so, natural gas was able to get up to, you know, 38.41, or you know, I'm almost not sure how to even read the number. Is it 384? I think it's $3.84. If they were able to get up there to 384, all the way as high as 386 to 387. So between 84 and 87, if they were able to get up there, I like the idea of selling those levels for a decline and a test of 373. So that's what I'd like to do with this market. So that's kind of a little insight into what it is that I'd like to see and what I would do with it if I saw it. It would be from anywhere from 84 to 87 down to 73, and that would be a nice little trade for people to take and maybe get your feet wet for the first time if you were so inclined in natural gas, because it sounds like an unusual market or a weird market or something, but it's just like any other market. Each market has a personality, of course, the way it moves, the way it interacts with its own self-generated waves. But putting that aside, it's just another market, and it can be a very easy to trade market. I mean, meaning that it moves quickly to where it needs to move to. It certainly isn't going to be as slow as the S&P is right now, if you like a little faster movement. So that's the setup. I hope if that was Ed or whoever asked that question, if you have any other question on it, I'll answer it now. But that's what I'd like to see. But in reflected wave, we're very close to a top here, so they may not be able to get that done and on the upside. But if they do, if like tomorrow we're on the radio with you and they get up to those levels or at or near those levels, I'll be saying things, talking about the potential for selling it. And this would be in December, natural gas. So there you go.
Ann wants to know if you could repeat those numbers again.
I can repeat the numbers again. The numbers that I would prefer to see, this isn't a forecast for them to go to them, but just a preference, would be anywhere from $3.83 and change up to maybe $3.86 and $3.87. $3.83 to $3.87. If they get up there, I like the idea of being a short seller into next week. So if that happens late this week, by tomorrow or the next day, this does kind of have an expiration on it. It's not something that I could say for all times and places. This would just be now for the conditions that we have in this market now, that if they were able to get up to 383 to 387, that's selling territory, short selling territory, for a move back down to 373 to 374. Okay? So whatever that's worth in dollars and all that. Bert can tell us. But that's the trade setup that I'd be looking for. And we'll mention it tomorrow on the program, Dwayne. We'll take a look at it.
Sounds good.
So there you are. That's everything we have for the day. I'd like to hear what the president has to say for himself. And, I hope, like everybody else, that, I hope America can pick itself up and that somewhere, somehow, we can all kind of just work together and get through this. And then when things are better, we can have all the ballroom fights that they want to have, all the political infighting and whatnot. But, the guy is the president now. So with that being done and said, I hope that fight's over, and I hope that there's some ability to compromise on both sides. And again, that's what leadership is. See, leadership isn't standing around. I used to tell this to management that, I didn't hire you as a manager to come to me and tell me what the problem is. I hired you as a manager to come to me and tell me what you solved. The problem was this, and this is what I did to solve it. Now, I mean, that's a, it can't be, obviously sometimes you need to know about things before they're solved, et cetera. But the principle is that the president's job is to make and produce leadership so that the two sides come together and business gets done. And he just does not do that. He just stands. He is not interested in doing that. For whatever reason is, he is just not into doing that. He may not have the personal skills for it. It may make him sick to his stomach. I don't know what the reason is. But we've had none of it. That's why we've had no business get done except for when the Democrats own the whole shooting match. But as it stands now, we're going to need some leadership in order to get things rolling, because you're going to see a little bit of give and take here because the election just happened and the public knows about the cliff and all that. But good Lord, somebody's going to have to step up and be a leader here to make anything happen past the first month or two of next year. Otherwise, it's just going to be the same old thing for 4 years. And for those of you who voted for him, I hope you enjoy the next 4 years. I hope I enjoy the next 4 years, but I'm very worried that it's not going to be that enjoyable. Maybe it will be. Maybe the American people will rally. Dwayne has said this before, getting up and not being afraid of the fear of man and so on. But at the same time, it makes it very difficult for businesses to want to make these decisions that seem like bad decisions to them because of the costs involved and so on and so on. So we'll see. I wish our country the best.
Amen. Me too.
Yeah.
Two quotes to follow your topic there. Progress is a matter of trial and error. Here's two quotes. I am not discouraged because every wrong attempt discarded is another step forward. That's Thomas Edison. And the error of the past is the success of the future. A mistake is evidence that someone tried to do something. So let's keep that positive attitude and just hope, like you say, that somebody takes leadership and gets something done. We'll know before the fiscal cliff happens. We'll know before the end of the year if anything can actually be done, because it's the first test.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see. And I'm actually glad Facebook is holding up. I haven't been a big Facebook fan because I've been forced to use it with Red Rock Search and Rescue, but I really do think product-wise, they may be getting their stuff together, and it certainly has changed the world. This one product is really phenomenal that it has absolutely changed just everything in the world. So to have a product that can do that globally is pretty amazing, and from a kid that's in his 20s is kind of extraordinary. And I think maybe this is just a showing that the price has settled to where it should be or where it should start from now to grow. So I'm glad that it's doing well, when I thought too it was going to go down with all that stock being dumped out there.
Yeah, what's going to be interesting is to see if what the hangover effect is here. If this is an aberration and the bottom falls out tomorrow, if it can hold up Yeah. If it can not go negative for 3 days, I would say that bodes very well for anyone that holds stock in Facebook.
I do, too. Okay, so get your numbers into Duane. What do you think the Dow's going to, not the Dow, sorry, the S&P is going to close out today?
The S&P is in futures. Yeah, guys, just type it in there, and at the end of the day,
just
I'll
type
come
it
back
in.
And I'll check the list.
You get a $200 CD.
All right. Thanks, David. Thanks, Robin.
Okay. Thanks, Duane.
Thank
Thanks,
you
Robin.
Guys.
I'll see you guys tomorrow. Have a wonderful afternoon, everybody.
Right.
Thanks for the questions.
Have a great day, everybody.
I didn't notice what time it was. All I know is that I fell in love with you. And if all my dreams come true, I'll be spending time with you. Every day's a new day in love with you. With each day comes a new way.
Okay, guys. Just type it, Frank. Just type it into the chat box. And anyone that wants to participate in the contest to win the CD, just put the price that you think the S&P 500 E-mini futures will close at today. The closing price today. You can't wait to the close to do it now. You got to go on and get it in there. Don, the correct natural gas contract would be January because the December contract expires November the 28th. So thanks for bringing that up. I was going to mention it, but now I have. Okay. See if there's any other questions. I want to talk to you guys a little bit of news here that came out yesterday. You may or may not have seen this. I tweeted it last night and to try to get your opinion. The Obama administration yesterday told a federal court that Christian business Hobby Lobby, you guys are probably familiar with them, the arts and crafts store, must obey the HHS mandate that forces religious companies to pay for drugs for women that may cause abortions. The privately held retail chain with more than 500 arts and crafts stores in 41 states filed a lawsuit against the Obama administration over the HHS mandate. Now, the company says it would face $1.3 million in fines on a daily basis starting in January if it fails to comply with the mandate, which requires religious employers to pay for or refer women for abortion-causing drugs that violate their conscience or religious beliefs. The lawsuit was filed in the U.S. District Court for the Western District of Oklahoma. The business says it is opposing the Health and Human Services Preventive Services mandate, which it says forces the Christian-owned and operated business to provide, without copay, the morning-after pill and the week-after pill in their health insurance plan, or face crippling fines, as I said, of up to $1.3 million per day. Now, the CEO and founder of Hobby Lobby, David Green, made this statement. By being required to make a choice between sacrificing our faith or paying millions of dollars in fines, we must essentially choose which poison pill to swallow. We simply cannot abandon our religious beliefs to comply with this mandate. And you guys hear that? This is the CEO of Hobby Lobby, okay? He says he's not going to back down. He says he can't. Now, they have 500 stores in 41 states. Kyle Duncan, general counsel of the Beckett Fund, talked with the National Review today about what the Obama administration told the court. So now we've heard what David Green, the CEO and founder, has said. We cannot abandon our religious beliefs to comply with this mandate. Okay? The administration's arguments in this case are shocking. Here's what they are saying. The Obama administration, here's what they're saying. Once someone starts a secular business, arts and crafts, he categorically loses any right to run that business in accordance with his conscience. The business owner simply leaves his or her First Amendment rights at home when she goes to work or he goes to work at the business he or she built. On this view of the world, even a seller of Bibles is considered to be a secular employer. Hobby Lobby's affiliate, Mardell, sells Bibles and other Christian-themed material, but because it makes a profit, the government has now declared it to be secular. The administration's position here, while astonishing, is actually consistent with its overall view of the place of religion in civil society. After all, this is the administration who argued in the Hosanna-Tabor case last year in the Supreme Court that the religion clauses of the First Amendment offered no special protection to a church's right to choose its ministers, a position that the court rejected 9-0. This is the administration which has taken to referring to freedom of worship instead of freedom of religion, suggesting that religious freedom consists in being free to engage in private rituals and prayers, but not in carrying out your religious convictions in public life. And this is the administration who crafted a religious employer exemption to the HHS mandate so narrow that a Catholic charity does not qualify for conscience protection if it serves non-Catholic poor people. As you point out, the administration is trying to justify its rigid stance against religious business owners by saying otherwise they would become a law unto themselves and be able to do all sorts of nasty things to their employees, like force them to attend Bible studies or fire them if they denied the divinity of Christ. Now, on this subject, I know a little bit about which I speak. My wife and I owned a company that we built from the ground up with 50 employees in its heyday. The wheels of industry ground to a halt every day at noon for what we lovingly referred to as God's time. We spent 30 minutes either someone speaking, someone teaching, someone preaching, or people sharing their testimony, or just talking about the things of God. Now, people who came to apply for a job with our company, if they said, well, I'm not a Christian or I don't believe in God, we didn't turn them away. We said, you're more than welcome to have a job here. And every day at noon, the wheels of industry grind to a halt, and we gather and we talk about the things of God. Those employees were left on the clock for that 30-minute period. Did we force anyone to go to a Bible study? No. We simply told them that's what we do as a company, as a family-run company. That's just what we do every day at noon. We even had one conscientious objector. He would sit there with his feet up on the desk or whatever. Sometimes he would turn around and face the wall. That's okay. And when we would close the Bible study each day, all 50 of us, we'd stand in a big circle around the room, hold hands and pray. He was a conscientious objector. He didn't want to hold hands with anybody. We didn't make him. It looked kind of odd. Here's a circle of 50 people standing together, you know, one family, under God, holding hands, praying for one another. And here's this one guy standing outside the circle. We'd have loved nothing more than for him to have joined in and been a part of our circle and been a part of the relationship that we all shared with each other because we shared the same Heavenly Father. He chose not to. And That was his choice. Now, back to this topic. I just wanted you to understand that what they're bringing up here, I know a thing or two about this, and I've had to deal with this issue in the past. The response is nonsense. Hobby Lobby isn't arguing for the right to impose the Greens' religion on employees, nor for the right to fire employees of different religions. There's already a federal law that protects employees from religious discrimination, and that's a very good thing. This case is about something entirely different. It's about stopping the government from coercing religious business owners. The government wants to fine the Greens if they do not violate their own faith by handing out free abortion drugs, and now it's saying they don't even have the right to complain in court about it. Duncan said the onerous provisions of the HHS mandate will hit Hobby Lobby in about 2 months on January the 1st, 2013. At that point, it will face the choice of dropping employee health insurance altogether and paying about $26 million a year in penalties, or continuing its current plan, which will expose it to about $1.3 million in fines per day. So it's not hard to imagine why the Greens felt they had no choice but to go to court. U.S. District Judge Joe Heaton did not rule on the company's request for an injunction, but noted Hobby Lobby's deadline for compliance. This does raise a lot of new and different issues, he said. There's not a lot of guidance out there. So this potentially here, guys, will be a landmark case. You'll hear this quoted in the future. Hobby Lobby is the largest and the biggest non-Catholic-owned business to file a lawsuit against the HHS mandate, focusing sharp criticism on the administration's regulation that forces all companies, regardless of religious conviction, to cover abortion-inducing drugs. It has faced a small boycott from liberals upset that it would challenge the mandate in court. The Obama administration says there is an exemption in the statute, but Duncan says that is not acceptable. According to Duncan, the safe harbor's protection is illusory. Even though the government won't make religious colleges pay crippling fines this year, private lawsuits can still be brought. Schools are at a competitive disadvantage for hiring and retaining faculty, and employees face the specter of battling chronic conditions without access to affordable care. This mandate puts these religious schools in an impossible position. Yesterday, the second plaintiff in one of the dozens of lawsuits won the first round of its legal battle against the Obama regime. So I'd like to know your thoughts. Send me an email. If you want to write a column, you want to blog about it, then by all means, please do. I'd like to know where you stand on this. We've already talked about what happened this morning. A Hamas military leader, one of their top military officials, was killed. Israel fired about 100 rockets, I think it was. And Bloomberg says that Channel 2 shows columns of smoke rising over the Gaza Strip. And along with Ahmed al-Jabari, there's about nine others, or eight others, dead from the airstrike. We mentioned that General Petraeus will testify on Benghazi tomorrow. He was supposed to testify before the sex scandal broke out. And we've already covered the fact that Facebook is up 10% on a day when everybody, including myself, thought it was going down. Now, I'm going to see if we got any questions in here before we wrap this thing up. Tim says, you said the weekly trading zone is often the low or high of the week. Is 1362.63, the lowest weekly trading zone for the week. No, Tim, it's not. It's certainly provided some great support here for 1, 2, 3, 4 hours. And, you know, there's the potential that this could be the low of the week. But we do have zones below that. Okay, let's see if there's any other questions. Oh, Ed, Bert said your question about the liquidity on currency options. If you would call him at the desk, 866-928-3310, 866-928-3310, he would be happy to discuss that with you. He's had a busy morning, and he's just not able to come on right now and discuss it, but he'll be happy to go over that with you. Scrolling down to see if there are any other questions. If I missed anyone's question, go ahead and type it in real quick at the end here. Just type it in again. Even if you've typed it in once, if I missed it, haven't brought it up, type it in again. I'll be happy to. Dan asked, can I tell you what page that police force is on of the healthcare bill? I can't, Dan. What I can do is I can forward you a video that I received over the weekend where it was discussed. I can do that, and then perhaps from that you may be able to deduce where. Well, let's just see what Google has to say about it. Let's see. There comes my new tab. Let's see, health, we'll call it Obamacare. That's probably what those who oppose it, Obamacare, Standing Army, Obamacare Standing Army. There we go. Let's see if this will tell us exactly where it's at. It looks like section 5210, but hang on one second. I'm going to find that, Dan. And then somebody had sent me a video over the weekend. I'll have to go back through my emails and find it. Or if you're the person out there who sent me that video, send it to me again or the link, and so I can share it with Dan. This guy was a retired general, I think, the one that was discussing it. I was waiting for this page to load. It's taking a while because it's filled with advertisements. All right, I'll go back to that in just a moment as soon as that page finally loads. So sit tight, Dan. According to Lynn, Petraeus said in his first testimony that the attack was a result of the video. If he actually tells the truth this time, he will be prosecuted for perjury. Well, that's interesting. We'll see. We'll find out what he does say. Alan asked, do I agree with David on prices dropping and then a rally? I've got zones lower than this, Alan. So is there the potential for the market to probe lower than 62.63? There is. I don't forecast or project in the same way that he does. So I stay from zone to zone. Okay. Once I see it dropping out of this zone, I expect this zone. Once I see it leave this zone, that's about as far out as my time horizon goes. Now, I will go and look at a daily chart as we did this morning. We can see right here. Okay, it's going to have to do something pretty significant to break through this. Can it? Sure. If it does, then this channel is going to have to be widened. Okay. I haven't even measured this descending channel yet. We'll do that later tomorrow. But see, we had this ascending channel for so long, which became a descending channel. That was the first, really, you could call that the first touch there, but we'll go here. There's one, two, three, four, and now today's five. So if we don't bounce out of here, I would have to say that substantially lower prices, you know, maybe that 1340 area, see it right across here, and that could happen tomorrow. If this area that we're in right now doesn't hold up, the 6263, then the next drop down would take us, oh, roughly 10 points or so. And then the next drop after that would take us down about 25 points. So watch this area carefully. If we start closing below 62, then look for another initial 10-point drop and then a potentially a 20 to 25-point drop after that. All right, Dan, I'm still waiting for this page over here to load. And let's see if it ever did. Okay, Obama's standing army. Obamacare is more than a destruction of our healthcare system. Section 5210, establishing a ready reserve corps. Section 203 of the Public Health Service Act, 42 U.S.C. 204, is amended to read as follows. In general, here shall be in the service a commissioned regular corps and a ready reserve corps for service in times of national emergency. Requirement: all commissioned officers shall be citizens of the United States and shall be appointed without regard to the civil service laws and compensated without regard to the Classification Act of 1923 as amended. Appointment: commissioned officers, it goes on and on. You know what? This is pretty long. And guys, I have not vetted this page. What does that mean? I haven't vetted it. I don't know if it's true or not. I just Googled it and came up with the page. So I'll leave it to you guys to go out there and snope it or do anything you want with it. But I'm going to put the link out for everybody. I just hit send to all. So all of you should have got that link. You can go read this page. Again, that healthcare bill is very difficult to read. Okay. And this is obviously a politically motivated blog site. It's called Political Pistachio. Douglas V. Gibbs, apparently, who writes the blog, is also an AM and FM radio host. So you guys read it and then let me know tomorrow here in the chat room during the show or via email. Let me know what you think about it after you research it and go check it out. All right, scrolling back down through here to see if I missed any questions. I saw your comment earlier, Frank. President Obama says he continues to argue for a sensible approach to deficit reduction. He wants to save America the collection costs, so please just send all of your money to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C. Dwayne G. says that in regards to Petraeus, the first time was not such that perjury charges would apply. Okay. And Dan says, the way I see this, the president has already declared war on the United States. Well, a lot of people feel that way, Dan. They sure do. All right, guys, that's going to wrap it up. We're at a really important area right here. It's taken... When we hit the zone, we bounced from 62 all the way up to 68.75. So we had a 6.75-point bounce. And we've spent 4 hours trying to break through there. We still have 11 minutes left in this hourly candle, at which point it will start a new one. It's possible that we just spike down and come right back up. If we start closing down below this zone, then you have to consider that the market is going to attempt to make a move down to the next lower zone. And if you'd like to get the zones, come take a free trial. It really is free, no credit card required. Spend 5 luxurious days in our live e-mini trading room, go to cfrn.net/apply. It's really that easy. In fact, once I close out the show, I'll put it in the chat box for you, so you can just click and go if you would like to take advantage of the free trial. Not only will you be able to hang out in the trading room for the next 5 days, now today's Wednesday, so if you sign up today, you'll still get 5 days in the trading room. You'll get Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week. You'll also be able to download the charting platform that we use. You'll get the data feed that we use. We will even allow you to use our indicators for 5 full days, so that at the end of a week, you can make a well-informed decision as to whether or not becoming a CFRN partner is what's right for you. A lot of the courses out there only last 5 days. We give you 5 days free just so you can figure out if it's right for you. If you decide it's right for you, then you get a 90-day course. Okay, and that includes access to our video training library in the members area, over 200 hours of videos in there compiled from our weekly partner workshops, where new partners just like you are asking questions and figuring out how to use the tools and how to use the indicators and how to set up their charts. All of that information is there, and it's waiting for you. And all you have to do is take the free trial. Once you complete the free trial, we'll then talk to you about becoming a CFRN partner. And if you need help getting your chart set up, getting your data flowing, Daniel's Trading has done a tremendous job of making this like a seamless process. It really doesn't even require human interaction. But chances are, if you're an ordinary person like myself, you might need some help. And so you can call Bert or Leslie toll-free, 866-928-3310. They'll be more than happy to walk you through the process, help you get those charts up and running, get that data flowing, get those indicators indicating. And I hope to see you in the live trading room, where, of course, we'll post all of the weekly trading zones and make sure that you have them. If you're on the free trial, you'll have all the zones for next week, because you'll get those on Monday. All right? Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a 1 week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.